a little bit easier to hunt in that area if you're like a brown trout or a brook trout or a rainbow. Well, he says, knowing this, when we know something, it brings a settling effect in our spiritual walk. This assurance, knowing the joy of the Lord, comes from in seeing the actual trying of your faith. It is the trying of our faith in action. And this really is the assurance that God is in control of your life every single day of the week. All things work together for good to them that are called of God. All things, and nothing is by accident. The third thing that takes place in the testing or the trial of our faith is found in verse 3. James says, knowing this, or know this, he is saying, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, you've heard the old adage. If you've never heard it, I'll tell you today, and you'll probably never forget it. Don't pray for patience. Amen? Does anybody know what will happen if you pray for patience? Can you tell us?
God will give you trials to help with your patience.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And unadvised prayer for patience brings a little extra trying or testing of our faith. It really does. We may go through things that God really never intended, but God will allow it to bring the perfecting or the maturing of our faith. So it brings patience. Now, in verse 3, he says, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word worketh means to accomplish something so as by completing or finishing it. The child of God is not going to be complete or mature or strong in our faith like God would like us to have to be until we have accomplished it. And the only way we can accomplish something is that we allow the Spirit of God to worketh patience in our life. The word patience means endurance and the ability to be able to wait for something. The endurance or ability. Patience is needed to see Christ work in our life. If you win somebody to Christ and you're praying for that person and mentoring that person, we must have patience for that newborn babe, that the Lord, as he works in their life, he is bringing patience. Well, we need patience also to see the Lord work in other people's lives, and that is endurance. We endure. Patience also is needed to see Christ, as we mentioned, work in our own life. Fourthly, testings bring maturity. Notice in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Now, the word perfect, let's see how we can do this. One day I was down in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was on the outskirts of suburbs, and it was in a revival meeting. And I took some of the men of the church out during the week, and we went out door-to-door soul winning. One day, we went to a particular house. A man answered the door very politely, and we talked to him, invited him to the revival. And I asked him, I said, sir, if you were to die today, do you know that for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, oh, yes. He said, I know I will. He said, I'm literally, I've had the second blessing. Listen to this. And he said, I just have gotten to the place that I don't sin anymore. And I looked at him and I said, that's interesting. I said, why do you wear glasses? And he said, because I need them. I said, wearing glasses is the overall result of the fall. I said, you know what the fall is? He said, oh yeah. He said, that's basic. I said, what is it? He said, it's Adam and Eve in the garden. I said, okay. But I said, if we have a fallen nature, then our body is deteriorating, and that'll never change until we be with the Lord. He said, oh, he said, I'm not sure I believe that. I said, do you have any? Do you need to go to the dentist? I said, do you need to go to the doctor? Do you ever get sick? And so on. Well, the word perfect is not speaking of what that person thought. And by the way, he did come to the meeting. And he came 3 or 4 nights. And that I was amazed over that. The last time he left, I shook his hand. And I said, you still believe in the fall, just like that. And he said, yes. And he jiggled his glasses. And he said, I understand a little better now. I'm hoping that he came back to church. He did profess to be saved. He may very well have been. But he picked up some bad baggage along the way after that. Well, let patience have her perfect work. The word perfect speaks of a labor of growth in our character. Character. Character, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, character is the gauge of what it takes to stop you, to stop a person. Character. A teachable spirit is essential to spiritual growth. We must have a teachable spirit. Fifthly, testing brings balance or completeness. Notice in verse 4, he says, an entire, wanting nothing. The word entire that James is speaking of is dealing with the spirit, the soul, and the body. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, wanting nothing in verse 4. Wanting nothing simply means to not be destitute of things that are spiritual. We need to be spiritual people. We need to gather. The only way that we can gather the fruit of the Spirit is to glean in the field of the harvest. And the field of instructional harvest is the Word of God for the believer. It teaches us how to be mature and entire and wanting nothing. The Holy Spirit of God helps us to be complete in our lives for Christ. Here's the second point for our outline. Please look at verse 5 and notice he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what we can glean from verse 5 through 8 is we're going to focus on wisdom. Wisdom is essential for the life of a Christian. Now, I believe that our president made a decision of saving faith in Denver, Colorado before the election. He was at a fellowship of a group of pastors and churches, and James Dobson, which you may or may not have heard of, made the statement that a certain man, a soul winner, spoke to Donald Trump and led him to Christ. He said, I personally spoke with him, and he gave his testimony how that he had just gotten saved today, the day that he spoke to him. He said, I will not mention the name of the person that led him to Christ because he actually requested to remain anonymous. And that's understandable. But I believe our president's saved. However, I pray for him every day. I pray for our nation that God will preserve it and protect it until the rapture. I pray that God will give our president wisdom that comes from above. Wisdom with it comes tact. And you've got to understand that our president came from a very demanding background of which he was in control of everything. You understand? And being a billionaire, successful businessman, he has released and given up a lot so that our nation and our economy is going through the roof. But he is right now in Singapore on the biggest challenge that he probably will ever have in his presidential life. He is talking where other presidents have never been able to get there. And he needs wisdom. Wisdom is essential, as we mentioned, to and for the life of a Christian. There are five things about spiritual wisdom. First of all, wisdom is not horse sense. You don't know what horse sense is. That's earthly wisdom. He needs heavenly wisdom. The first is this. Notice in verse 5, it is given by God. He says, ask of God. Now, notice verse 17 of our reading. Every good gift that, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, spiritual wisdom comes from above. It is also given to all who will seek after it. In verse 5, he says, that giveth to all men liberally. Wisdom comes from God's word in answer to our prayer. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Thirdly, it is given by promise. In verse 5 it says, and it shall, pardon me, it shall be given him. Now, this passage warns us and tells us something, that there is no legitimate reason to be without spiritual wisdom for living. None whatsoever. Fourthly, it must be asked for in pure faith. Pure faith is unobstructed. Pure faith has no get-off points as we conduct and approach the Lord in our prayer. It is pure faith. Wisdom cannot be associated with or affected by outside circumstances. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul says the following, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You see, wisdom was upon the church at Thessalonica, spiritual wisdom, and the believers therein. Fifthly, spiritual instability, and that's what we're talking about this morning, is spiritual stability. But spiritual instability is always made manifest. And it's made manifest in verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It can be manifested by a lack of wisdom, being weak in our faith, by having indecision or resorting to human reasoning and argument. Here's our last point, and we may go maybe five over the quarter till Mark, maybe. Thirdly, in verse 9 to 11, it is God that establishes his people and not ourselves. Beginning in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his way. Now, the first thing we need to understand when we're looking at God establishing us, promotion comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from anybody else. It's from the Lord. Listen to James chapter 2 and verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Now, here's some thoughts. When we look at God establishing his children, uncertain riches bring sorrow, and with it only bring temporary joy, just temporary, short-lived. Have you ever wanted something and you just wanted it, you got it, after within a couple weeks you started getting tired of it, just kind of worn out, weary? I used to have a, humanly speaking, secularly speaking, I used to have a love and an affinity for cars. We had an automotive shop in Mesa, and we'd work on automobiles every stage of every area and level that you can imagine. Now I'm doing good to change something on top of the engine, because I can't get in those positions. I had a good man of the church change our struts yesterday on our Toyota. I could not do it physically. But I loved cars. I loved the past tense, loved them. I used to have a super draw to Jeeps, Wranglers, TJs, and CJs, and everything you could ever imagine. And I'd get a Jeep, and then down toward the end, I was pastoring in Maricopa. I still loved cars then. I like cars, don't get me wrong. But I don't go goggle-eyes when I see a vehicle anymore. Had a Wrangler, put a lift kit on it, a winch, did everything you could ever imagine. And then I looked at it one day and I thought, you know, that's clever. That's kind of getting in my way, in the Lord's way, I think. So I put an ad in Craigslist, and I think it was, wasn't it the same day, I had a phone call, and a man came from Tucson and drove it home, and it was his. I liked it, but I didn't miss it. Uncertain riches bring uncertain joy. I get something new, and pretty soon it was just, boy, I could have done without that. It wore off. But the joy of the Lord gets stronger, you see,
Amen.
And more consistent. Wealth and possessions can become clutter, and they can actually become the pavement of sorrow. Some things can actually gain control of our lives. Now, here's an example. Excuses that people and some use to keep them away from church. Load on a lake, their car, even their children. You can love your children more than the Lord, and when that happens, then we're going to be in trouble. 2 Corinthians 4:8, notice what Paul says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here's what the Lord does. God both vindicates and he rewards his people. He rewards his people for serving him. Listen to Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name. And then God judges all unrighteousness. Our fourth point is a one-liner. Perseverance is the mark of a believer. Please look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. What is perseverance? Perseverance is the ability that God gives us to go through the fires of the trial of testings in our life. Spiritual stability, number one. Father, we ask now that you'll bless our lives. Lord, please help us that we might grow in spiritual love and joy in our life. We ask that we might have a good turnout for the morning service. We ask that someone might give their heart to the Lord Jesus, and we'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we have about 9 minutes. And did you have